for over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome to the number one.
Oh, yeah.
Bengals podcast.
Oh.
I'm your host, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji the Electric Esmoji.
Yeah.
And John Barry Manilow Sheeran.
Oh, yeah. One.
How are you doing, guys?
Great.
Really? I am great. And I am not worried, and I'm going to explain that in the next segment, why I don't get flustered with the Bengals' up and down season. But first, I have to explain why you should go watch the show, not here, where it is free, but on Brinks.tv.
Where it is also free.
Where it is also free. But it is a better deal. Not every free item is the same deal.
Yeah. No two frees are the same.
No. And
speaking of free,
yeah,
this tie that you gave me for Kwanzaa,
right?
Is there any, how shall we say, presidential significance to it? Because I've never had a gold tie before. I was really grateful.
It's funny
to
you
get
mentioned
it.
Presidential significance, because Brinks.tv has the Ray Lewis show, and they recently had one of the greatest heroes in our nation's history. I'm talking about Mariano Rivera, won the Medal of Freedom.
No. Yeah. He did win the Medal of Freedom, but he won it for being a Trump supporter.
And it is because the show is about charity, depravity, and the championship mentality.
It is not about depravity.
He's had a lot of great guests, a lot of great former athletes who also care very much about the nation. But there's a lot of great content on Brinks.tv. There's a new podcast. Hold on, Courtney. I want to get the name right. It is called Damned If You Don't.
That does not sound right.
And it is hosted by Kirk Cameron.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is about all the things that earn you eternal damnation, including supporting the wrong candidates.
No, hosted live on the Enterprise.
No. This is basically a MAGA, a MAGA dream.
I don't know what politics. I'm not going to assume anything.
These are not true shows.
But there's a real show. There's a real show. It is called Inside the Shield with Pro Football Moms. It is hosted by Falcons defensive tackle Brady Jarrett. John, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Grady Jarrett.
Right. So, and here's the thing. The show is fascinating. It is hosted by moms. His mom, Grady's mom, Alicia, she's on the show. It's called The Shield because they want to protect their natural motherly instincts, protect their children. And they have some innovative proposals for football, including, Courtney, let me just make sure I get this right, instituting pillow fights instead of traditional football.
No.
And they want to have, hold on, cook-offs with nutritious foods so that their babies are eating right. And whoever wins the cook-off is the Super Bowl champion. It is a fascinating show. So forward-thinking. And listen to this. One of the upcoming guests is DJ Reader, his mom. Not DJ Reader, but his mom.
That's real. That's real. I can see
that. That is real.
Yeah.
And her mom, his mom's name, guess what his mom's name is? John.
MJ.
See, John is supposed to be the guy. He is our information guy. John, I know his mom's name. Do you know the mom's name?
Well, you looked it up. Poor John. Why is
I don't want to know what it's not. So do we have anyone else that can say it?
I will. Yes, Courtney.
Yes, Miss Felicia is going to be with us.
Yeah. She is going to be on the Shield, and she has some great ideas about protecting DJ Reader. And really, I am not a football mom, but I think they have lined me up, right, Courtney, to be on the show. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Okay.
On the show. You skirted the tie question. It says number 45 as the brand. What does that mean?
Well, you know,
dollar.
Yeah. I mean, there was a golden age in history. 45 represents a very important time in our history.
Yeah.
I will leave it at that. But look, guys, Chargers against the Bengals, that was a crazy game.
It was sad.
Okay. And Justin Herbert, I turn on that game and I see him flinging and slinging these passes, you know, 45, 50, 60 yards down the field like they're nothing. And John, I mean, these were like a lot of 50-50 balls, right? But he didn't care. He was attacking. He was.
Well, he has a good arm.
He has a good arm. And he, John, I haven't seen a lot of him. By that, I mean nothing before that game. But I felt like he was trying to prove something. I felt like he was trying to say, this is what the physical upside looks like.
No, that's just how he plays.
Don't you want me, you know, don't you wish you had me?
I think you're trying to make something into something that it wasn't.
No, I that's really what I think. I really felt like Justin Herbert had something to prove.
That's what he does, though. That's what Hoji just said. Like, okay. People are looking at those 50-50 balls, and it's like an indictment on Herbert's accuracy or decision-making or whatnot. He can make those throws.
Those great.
Because, no, like, that's why he makes those throws, because he can, and only maybe four other quarterbacks in the league can. Like, no disrespect to Joe Burrow, but he doesn't have that cannon. He doesn't have that howitzer, if that's what you want to call it. Like, those throws are possible because he can get it there from point A to point B in an instant a lot quicker than others. And if it ends up being contested catch situations, then that is what it is. But it's half of the equation, and it's the more valuable half of the equation, if I say so myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the guy, Andrew Russell, I think, Pro Football Focus, John, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking a lot about how Burrow had a better game, and Pro Football Focus said he had a better game. And a lot of people are upset. They're like, oh, Pro Football Focus based in Cincinnati. Oh, what are you talking about? But it's interesting. They said Joe Burrow had 5 big-time throws compared to Herbert's 1.
4.
And it looked like, yeah, John.
4? 4 big-time throws? 5?
Something like that, yeah.
It was 4.
And
he also had some big-time interceptions.
No, but hold on. Let's stay on topic.
One at a time.
I think he had a better overall grade than Herbert too.
Yeah, he did.
And the thing is, you know, when I watched that game early
with
on,
a broken pinky.
That's true, but we really had that game. We were ready to come back. We had incredible momentum. I think it was the mix and the fumble that kind of killed.
I have never seen a comeback like that in recent Bengals history.
Well, it's never happened before. Never come down. They've never come back from 24-point deficit.
Yeah.
They didn't have the game. They lost it initially, and then it's just a matter of, like, if you want to talk about Burrow versus Herbert, Herbert's guys made plays and Burrow's guys didn't, unfortunately.
Burrow's guys were fumbling.
Arguably his best throw of the game ended up as an interception when it should have been a touchdown.
Yeah. That hurt.
I would say
and Mixon's fumble.
I would say this. Yeah, those two plays, those were the two. Well, the defense early on, again, I, it's like, how do you blame the defense? You know, that's true, Andrew. Burrow was fast. Was
Burrow's
very impressive.
Swollen pinky had a pinky. Andrew says Burrow's swollen pinky had a better game than Herbert.
I know Hoji knows a lot about curses. I feel like there was a curse, because you remember before the game, I said a slingy and the brain. And you know, the original is pinky and the brain, was the cartoon.
You took it too far.
And I referred to Herbert as a slingy. And then Burrow's pinky, you know, exploded.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's something.
No, that's
slingy,
a fact.
Slingy
that's
a derogatory
fact.
Pun, though. Like,
I don't think so. But I guess the gods or whatever that cursed us thought it was. That was their interpretation. Right?
But the Chargers are usually ones who are cursed. I feel like that's not.
That's called a mojo boomerang. It's a form of karma.
I just want to say this. Here's why I'm not discouraged by that loss. Okay, because the Bengals they came apart with the turnovers and they had all these mistakes, okay? But they still look like a very talented team, and they look like a team that, you know, when they look like they can beat anybody on any given day. That is what I like about this team. Like, if they're in the playoffs, there's a 75% chance they're going to be great, and there's a 25% chance they're going to have another one of those kind of sloppy, messy games. Which
you don't think it's closer to 50-50?
No. Which brings
I think it's closer to 50-50.
Let us talk about Zach gets flack, because
Zach gave himself the flack. Zach was totally blaming himself for this loss. And I think that's a sign of, and that's a sign of maturity. He said, it was on me. It was my bad, my play calling.
I mean,
and
he hasn't done that for pre- He does. I noticed he even has a little mustache, you know, growing the little peach fuzz.
A prepubescent mustache, yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. He hasn't done that in previous games, which tells me that there is something he feels he himself could have done differently here.
Well, this was one of those games where it was like, it really looked like a terribly coached game because of how sloppy we were in every kind of aspect, you know?
I mean, there were key people hurt too, though.
Yeah. But I mean, the Mixon fumble was very strange, you know? But I mean, I guess, I don't know, John, how you can blame coaching for that. Maybe the team wasn't in sync, or I don't know.
No, I don't think he was blaming himself for the Mixon fumble.
He took blame in two separate instances. One being they wanted to go for two in a situation when they were down by 24. They score their first touchdown. They go for two. It makes it a two-score game instead of a three-score game. They take a timeout to try to decide what they're going to do with that two-point conversion. And then for whatever reason, the communication was not there going to the offense coming out of the timeout. Then they have to take a delay game. It's the most... I've never seen anything like it. That should not happen based off of what they did to try to prevent that from happening. So, yes, that's 100% on Zach Taylor. And then after that, like we saw Joe Burrow's pinky hurt for the first time, like noticeably grimacing in pain on the sideline, trying to like throw through it before the offense gets back on the field. And they're not even sure what they're able to do with him out there, clearly in pain, trying to fight through this. And they're trying to make this like a two-minute drill down the field to get a score before halftime. And it's third down, the clock is dwindling away. Instead of spiking the ball to go for a Hail Mary, they just decide to go to the locker room because they're not even sure if this guy can throw down the field. It was a lot of mismanaging in some of these crucial moments that, you know, it's on coaching. But I think I kind of agree with Hoji here. The two biggest instances in this game where it turned, it's not on the coaches. It's on Jamar Chase dropping that clear touchdown and Joe Mixon fumbling away the game. It just is what it is.
Courtney, it's not the first time. It's not the first time. Listen, I love Jamar, and I was going to personally apologize to Jamar and his family because I was really rough on him in the preseason, and he's been amazing. But it's not the first time that Jamar's hands have caused a problem for the Bengals.
Well,
he's got to work on that. He's really got to work on that. I saw Captain Bengal was suggesting changing his gloves. I don't know if that would do it.
No. I think here's the thing. I think he's trying to make a lot of big plays, and he's a young player. And John, I don't know if you know you remember. But I remember Randy Moss. I always think of that, you know, that Cowboys Thanksgiving game. You know, they always show that the stat line, three catches, 156 yards or whatever, three touchdowns. A lot of people forget it should have been four catches for 200 yards and four touchdowns. But he dropped the last one. And the reason he dropped it was because he was so good. He was so athletic, so much better that he was already thinking about the end zone before he even caught it. And I think with a guy like Jamar Chase being that talented, having it come that naturally to him, he's always thinking of the big play. And I mean, I don't think it's a problem with the catching. It's a problem with the concentration. And that is going to be fixed very soon.
Well, but he didn't just miss the ball. He caused an interception. So
right. Well, he had just missed. I don't think he meant to cause the interception. Did he say that? I don't think so. But look,
it's one thing to drop. He popped.
Yeah, he popped.
So I mean, if he went to drop, it's okay, but don't pop.
Courtney, can we pull up the chart, please? So those two plays we had, they lowered our is called the EPA, which Hoji is going to hate this because the Bengals are the least environmentally friendly team in the NFL when it comes to turnovers. If you look at their EPA loss from turnovers, it is that like is negative sad. 100 and like 15 points. I can't read it. My glasses actually are not, they don't have lenses. They're just for a style. I can't see the chart, but Courtney, it is somewhere in the hundreds of points that we've lost from turnovers. John, am I understanding it correctly? Basically, you have these kind of plays. When we turn the ball over, it is really hurting us more than any other team in the league.
It's not just hurting them, it's hurting the environment. That red is the amount of greenhouse gases that they're
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. This is so sad.
It's a lot of carbon that's being kept.
But I don't think this is what EPA means. But you know what's funny? Okay, so I'm looking at this chart, right?
Yeah.
Now look at the number one team in the AFC. Look where they are.
Right.
They're not that, I mean, they're better. But they're not that much better.
They have a rookie quarterback.
I know. But what I'm saying is, I think this is a factor. I think this is a small factor.
But this is the problem with, it's not necessarily the coaching, which I think a lot of people wanted to blame. It's the turnovers, honestly. And
yeah,
you can live with that so long as you have the positive EPA in this case to counteract it. But when you have games like this and games like the Browns, when you turn the ball away and you put your defense in compromising situations, you are going to get creamed more times than not.
Yeah, but John, it's not just the number of turnovers. I mean, I don't think we lead the league in turnovers.
It's the criticalness of the turnovers.
It's the critic, yes. And we are not turning it over the right way. We need to learn how to turn it over, like treating turnovers like punts, basically. Am I right?
Was returned for a touchdown, so yeah.
Not good.
Less of that.
You know what was...
Are we going to talk about the pinky?
The pinky, John, the pinky...
It's dislocated.
What does it mean? Can he play again?
Yeah, because he played through it, and that's going to be the worst it's going to be. So like,
but usually injuries are not worse on day one. They're worse at like about 4 or 5 days after.
Well, he's not going to have surgery on it. It's like, it's just going to heal.
You know, but I do wish we had a backup QB who could really take over some of these games. Well, let's forget it. It's an old topic. But
I mean, you're talking about, we have a top five quarterback in the league. You're talking about the backup. Whoever you put in, it's going to be a huge drop off. He could be a borderline starter kind of backup, which is the best you can get, and we're still going to have a huge drop off. And we're talking about a quarterback who is
yes and no. I think part of what everybody's missing is working about the Bengals, it's not just Burrow, it's the system.
I disagree.
The offensive system works really well when it works, and Burrow is able to use that system. Burrow is able to read
system. He's
not the system because of him.
It's all because of him. Look, here's the thing. So I talked about Andrew Russell, and I invited him to be our guest today to talk about 49ers versus Bengals. And he blocked me, which was probably a wise move.
Yeah, I blocked you too.
Yeah. So apparently he doesn't want to be on the show. That is how I understood
it. Neither do I.
And we couldn't find any 49ers fans who wanted to be on the show. So today we have a very special guest.
He's an
expert on the Cincinnati Bengals, and he writes for CincyJungle.com. I'm talking about John Sheeran.
Wow.
He's our guest today. Yes. We had no guest. Oh, here
he is. Welcome.
Hey, John. Welcome to the show. There we go. Yeah. So John, of course, is a senior intern at DNH Sports. That is why he's technically a guest. We can't put his name on any of the branding material because then, you know, we can't monetize his name yet. So... John,
explains the lack of paychecks too.
Right. John, so you were telling me about how you have this irrational fear of Mike Shanahan or his son, Kyle Shanahan, and what his teams do to the Cincinnati Bengals.
That handsome devil seems to have their number, man. Go back to 2019, it's the first home game of the Zach Taylor era. They drop, I think, 41 points on the earliest iteration of Louie Nerumo's defense. That defense has evolved. It's gotten better. It's gotten better personnel. A couple weeks ago, about a month ago now, the Bengals played the Jets, and they played Shanahan's former offensive coordinator. His name escapes me. I think it's Mike McCoy. He runs a very similar system to what Kyle Shanahan still does in San Francisco, just with slightly lesser athletes and obviously a lesser quarterback. And that defense dominated the Bengals for four quarters in New York. And I don't think it's a coincidence that similar concepts and similar athletes did similar things to eviscerate that defense. Now they got this 49ers offense again with the same quarterback, but almost even better athletes and just as good, if not better, of an offensive line. I think it's honestly the biggest test that this defense will face all season. And that's saying something because Jimmy Garoppolo on the surface shouldn't necessarily scare opposing defenses. But there's only one quarterback with the highest EPA per play since week 8 and the highest PFF grade since week 8, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not playing fantastic, but he's playing incredibly efficient, and that, I think, does not bode well for a Bengals defense that seems to have problem against premier athletes.
I mean, it's interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo, he first came to the 49ers. Remember, John? He won like 6 or 7 games, I think, right? I mean, he was on fire. And it was kind of because, you know, he wasn't expected to carry the team. And then he kind of lost his job, but not officially. And, you know, he's just kind of, like you said, he's just in there to kind of as a placeholder trying to win games again. And he's slowly finding his place in the system. And Elijah Mitchell, the running back, has been absolutely on fire. He's a rookie running back. And he's John, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said he's the highest PFF graded and he has the highest EPA and he's a great average. And so when you have that kind of efficient running game and you have a guy with ability like Garoppolo, he's not a nobody. He can be a very good quarterback. So yeah, it is a daunting matchup.
You know. But the reason why it scares me is because I think with how the Bengals' offense is clearly in this flux and a lack of identity, and you cannot count on consistency with them, the one thing that like you need consistently week in, week out is a stable defense. And I think that for the most part, like the opponents that they have left, I think you can feel confident in the Bengals' defense being able to match up with them. I think this one, though, specifically, is the one where you probably have the least amount of confidence that they're going to keep this game in a manageable reach for that offense. So if you have to have like 30 points in this game with the way that the offense is playing right now, I think that bodes some concern for you.
Yeah. But let us go to along the lines because, John, I know that we have, you know, Trey Hendrickson is on the road. 8 games in a row with the sack, mm-hmm. right? And he's facing the best tackle in the league. A guy who I wanted the Bengals to sign, but obviously he was about 8 times the price they were willing to pay. You know, it's like with $20-something million a year. But what do you think? Does Trey keep it going? I mean, maybe they move him around, but I mean, do you think he'll find success against Trent?
Trent Williams is not picture perfect against pass rushers. I think he's more dominant as a run blocker. And this is interesting because the Bengals take Trey Hendrickson off the field a lot for running plays. They like to implement rotations with Wyatt Ray, Cam Sample on some of those obvious running downs. That's where Trent Williams completely dominates, and he's far away like the best run blocking left tackle. But, I mean, those skills also translate in pass protection too. Trey Hendrickson has been kind of matchup proof. It hasn't really mattered the quality of left tackle that he goes up against. He'll typically end up with at least 1 sack per game, and that's why he's on this 8-game streak. And only like a handful of defenders in NFL history have had longer streaks than the one that he's currently on. It's still going to be tough, though, because Hendrickson wins a lot with technique and hand placement and stuff like that, but Trent Williams and his just mammoth size and athleticism, that usually negates technique from opposing pass rushers. So Hendrickson is going to need his absolute best game to get past Williams, and if he doesn't, the rest of the 49ers offensive line is pretty damn good too, and the Bengals pass rush is largely dependent on Trey Hendrickson winning one-on-one matchups, and he's going to have the toughest one that he's faced all year.
But despite that, John, despite that, my understanding was that the Bengals do particularly bad against the teams that have a very strong run game, right? And isn't it the case that the 49ers don't?
Well, that's the whole other element to this as well, and that only compounds, I think, on the fear and the mismatch and the bad matchup that the Bengals face right now. Elijah Mitchell, he's talented, but the scheme and the offensive line and the athleticism, that's what makes the entire system go, right? And Mitchell's just there for the ride, just kind of like how Jimmy G is a quarterback. I think Daddy-O just mentioned that. So they spread you out. They go wide. Yeah. They go horizontal on you, and that kind of gives the Bengals some fits.
Yeah. I think I'm looking forward this coming game against the 49ers for an angry Joe Mixon. This is a man who does not fumble a lot, and I know he's feeling guilty about that fumble. And Joe Mixon has been an absolute star this whole year. And I think that this is going to be the game for Joe Mixon to show up. You got your QB's finger is hurty-hurty, and you got to run to the yards and make it happen. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And in addition to probably a 70-yard Evan McPherson field goal, which I've been waiting for.
But we also have on that side of the ball for our offense, we have to worry about Nick Bosa.
Bosa with the Mosa, yeah.
Who's received a lot of, you know, recognition.
From Bosa the Samosa.
Presidents and all sorts of people. I mean, this guy is a very decorated player.
Yeah.
And the thing about Nick Bosa, John, is we might not have Riley Reiff back.
I know, that's sad.
And so he could be going up against Isaiah Prince. How did Prince do in his first start, John?
Hoji, did you want to say something?
No. I was just saying, I think a lot of these guys are going to be back for our first playoff game. That's my hope. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
The Bengals luckily avoided Joey Bosa last week because he suffered a concussion in the first quarter. And I wasn't particularly concerned from the Bengals standpoint because I thought that they were going to give the older Bosa, in this case, a lot of attention, maybe chip him, double team him. And Isaiah Prince did fine when that plan kind of went away because Bosa was off the field. He had a lot of one-on-one matchups with his backup. And honestly, Isaiah Prince did fine in pass protection. So I think he kind of lucked out a little bit and avoided some one-on-ones with the older Bosa. Now he's got the younger Bosa, who's honestly just as good, if not a little bit more athletic than the older Bosa in this case. But I think the plan is going to be the same. The 49ers defensive line, it goes through Bosa, just like the Bengals defensive line goes through Hendrickson. It's just that one guy lines up on the opposite side. So it's going to be Isaiah Prince and CJ Uzomah, Drew Sample, or even Joe Mixon coming off the edge to try to chip him, force him back inside. If it has to be Isaiah Prince again, I think he's got the athleticism to handle that, but you have to expect the Bengals to just account for Nick Bosa, just like they were going to account for Joey Bosa last week.
I think Bosa's are pretty dangerous.
No, but
Bosa the Bosa's.
Yeah.
You know, and if concussions are bad, of course, but Daddy has a concussion before every show because he's gotten a car that is so small, he's such a cheapo that he hits his head really hard as he exits the car.
Well, concussions, little concussions, they're a good jolt. They get you going in the morning. It's not a bad thing.
It's a very bad thing. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous.
All the time. But John, let me ask you something. So you mentioned how Joey Bosa was out with a concussion, I guess a big concussion, let's say, one of the bad ones.
A real one.
And
not an imaginary one.
Right. And but they still had what? 6 sacks? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They were still getting a lot of pressure on us. And I remember last show you said that they don't have a lot other than Joey Bosa when it comes to pass rush.
Well, they don't. They have Chris Rump. They have Nwosu. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. And those guys ate against guys that should have blocked them. Jonah Williams did not play well.
Why?
Quinn Spain did not play well.
What happened?
Players play bad sometimes. I don't know what to tell you. Jonah Williams did not play well.
But it was like from the get-go. We were struggling against
It was
guys.
Bad. It's a problem it's just like Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase. You don't expect Joe Mixon to fumble that ball. You don't expect Ja'Marr Chase to turn that touchdown.
Yeah, those are two plays. It seemed like the whole game we had these guys.
Part of it was also Burrow holding onto the ball a little bit too long. I think he took 6 sacks, and I think maybe 2 or 3 of them was because Burrow should have thrown it away or should have thrown it quicker than he did, and it ended up being sacks. But yeah, in general, Williams and Spain did not play like their usual selves.
So I guess maybe this game, Burrow, he learns quickly. He's going to turn around maybe, and he's going to have a different approach in terms of protecting himself, especially with that pinky.
This is my issue, because in the 2-game winning streak before this, it was a lot of running. It was a lot of taking the pressure off of Burrow, and their offense kind of changed quickly, right? Then they're down 24 points, and they're forced into these obvious passing situations, and then they get down like 11 points in the final 10 minutes, and again, they kind of abandon the run game because they have to. They have to score points, and this offense cannot, under any circumstances, generate positive drives when they're in obvious passing situations. And I think that's a problem if you're talking about this team being a legitimate playoff contender or a team that wants to win 3 of these final 5 games. They're going to have to throw the ball. If they run into situations where they get down or maybe the running game gets stuffed because defense is key in on Joe Mixon like that, I don't know if despite how talented the receivers in Burrow are, like they haven't shown the ability to kind of win in these situations. It scares me.
They have sometimes. It's weird. Sometimes they look so awesome. Speaking of awesome, Daddy, you had that article about Eli Apple.
Right.
And how much better he's getting.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I have enjoyed watching that young man grow this season. Because at first he was an embarrassment. And now I think he's an asset.
I mean, John, I think he has an 88 PFF grade since the bye, right?
What a kid.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. If Trey Waynes is able to return, say, in like 2 weeks' time, do you take Eli Apple off the field for him?
I don't think so. Not until Trey Waynes shows something. He has to show that he deserves to start. I mean, Trey Waynes, he came in after a year and a half or whatever not playing. He didn't look very good in those 2 games.
Right. And there's also the chi factor, which is when you're playing week after week, your chi is up. His chi is down. It's going to take him a few weeks to get the chi.
Eli Apple's chi is off. I don't know what it is, chi.
It's like an energy.
It is incredible. It is incredible. He's looking really good.
Yeah.
I wonder if you read that article. I wonder if it boosted.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
So, John, everything you said has led me to believe that your prediction is going to be that the Bengals are going to barely pull this out.
Yeah, that's that concussion talking. I think the Bengals win this, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything is going against them. Again, it's not a good matchup. Honestly, if you just look at the importance of this game, I think it's the least important game remaining on the schedule. It's an NFC team. They have three winnable games after this, and they only really need to win three. This is the situation that they like to find themselves in when everyone starts counting them out. And they were riding high off a two-game win streak. They come back down to earth, and they've managed to find ways to respond well. Despite this being a bad matchup and a lot of things going against them, I think they somehow surprised people and pulled this one out and kind of win by at least a touchdown. So I'm going to say 28-20.
Nice. I like it. OG. Oh, who's your player of the game, John? Player of the game.
I kind of went on a rant about this last week, so I'm going to abstain that. And you realize
there's no way of running away from it. No escape.
But I am escaping this time. I'm going to say no player of the game.
Yeah, there's no I in team. But here's the thing. So my turn, maybe. I think that it is going to be a close one. I'm looking at something in the, shall we say, 30s for both. I think they're going to barely pull it off. I do hope Evan McPherson finally does the 70-yard field goal that I've been predicting, but I do think this is going to be Joe Mixon's game. I said that earlier. I think he's the X factor. I think he's the one with something to prove. He's the one who fumbled it. He's been looking great. The only caveat to my prediction is we're all assuming that the Joe Burrow dislocated pinky finger is no big deal. And I think we're all hoping that. But I don't think you're really going to know that until Sunday. Because, a dislocated pinky, I'm not saying is a big deal, but it could very well cause a missing of one game. And we won't know that until the game.
I mean, you know, OJ, I mean
it's on his right hand. It's his throwing hand.
Before
the pinky is all, I'm a QB coach, right? So I tell you,
yeah, but
the
pinky is all about ball stability. I think 90% of your medicine was just that guy who cracked your bones, put them back in place.
Right.
That was
I still go to him.
So, I mean, if they have that, I mean, remember Kobe Bryant's, John, do you remember? He dislocated his finger. He went and Gary Vetti was the guy, the Lakers trainer, just popped it back into place and he went right back out there. Remember?
Kobe, no. you mean the UC cornerback?
Kobe Bryant. No, the
the basketball player. Yeah. Right. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. I'm with all of you and I don't think it's a big deal. I'm saying that my caveat for my prediction is assuming that he is tip-top shape this week, which I think he is.
Yeah.
But the pinky finger, right pinky finger is important for QB. It is the most, it is the more important of the two pinky fingers, the right one, if you're right-handed.
Yeah.
That's that analysis we love.
Yeah. If you're left-handed, it's the left pinky finger that becomes more important.
I see. That is some insight there. But I would say this. I think that the Bengals are going to lay down on Sunday, unfortunately. I think they're going to lay down. And, you know, the final score will be 37-12 Bengals. They're going to lay
down. Now, how is that laying down?
Well, because, you know, after the game, they're going to do the little, you know,
They're gonna make the snow angels in the grass, right? Yes, they're gonna lay down on their backs
and just take it easy after an incredible win.
Laying down is what you should do after you suffer those car concussions.
Yeah.
Well, John,
some money is what you should do to buy something that was made in the 2000s.
Thank you for the transition. Yes, so promotion is thank you, Courtney. You can go to patreon.com/DHSports or you can become a member. John, right? You told me. Okay. And you can go you know, any, look, it's a free country. You are free to pay us however you like. Everybody, look, everybody has a charity they give to.
I think it's kind of funny, Dadio, that you're hoping you will get the Presidential Medal of Freedom for this, for begging for money for our show.
You'd be surprised. You just watch in 2024. This year, we haven't had a lot of good presidential freedoms. But 2024,
I'm guessing it's going to be 4 years of not good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to give them out to all sorts of people like me.
And we're going
to
get sick of winning, right?
You're going to get sick of winning. I'm already kind of sick of winning. The Bengals this year have been incredible. And it would not have been possible. I literally mean that. The Bengals would not have been this successful if it wasn't for our great patrons. So many to even mention. I'm not just saying that because I forgot to write their names down. There's just so many. I think there's three. So please,
three wise patreon.com. Men or women who are supporting the show with the frankincense and myrrh of their hearts.
Thank you, OG. And that is basically all we have. But, you know, we need you to also, in addition to giving money, you go leave a 5-star review, you like, you subscribe, you click
make on some comments,
leave some comments,
subscribe,
what you thought of our guest, and read John's article.
Hey, and you know what? You know, if for the fans out there, could you put a comment in the YouTube section? Is this show better when it's just the three of us or when we have guests? Because this isn't, I won't tell you what we all think on this show, but we all have debates about this.
Right. It's actually cheaper when we have the guest. But yeah, that's all we have. See you next time. So long as sweetie pies.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.